Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Monday, November 25th. Coming up today, we'll hear from a Kent pharmacist on the increase on assaults of pharmacy staff across the county. We'll also hear from the Gills manager who says his squad deserved to be booed as they left the pitch after the weekend's performance. But first, taking a look at our top story today, a Whitstable family have questioned why staff at a university didn't check in on their son after he failed to attend lectures for 5 months. Henry Jacques Dooley was found dead in April, a day before he was due to return to Cardiff Metropolitan University. Reporter Millie Bowles has been speaking to Henry's parents about this incredibly sad story, and Millie joins me now. Thanks ever so much for being on the podcast. Firstly, when did Henry start uni?
Henry first started uni in September 2023, doing a foundation year leading to sports media.
And did his parents have any idea there was something wrong?
His parents had no idea anything was wrong. They were in regular contact with him while he was at uni. But he didn't let on that he was having any trouble.
Now, an inquest into Henry's death heard from Cardiff Met's Director of Student Services, Kirsty Palmer. What did she say?
Kirsty Palmer was asked what level of attendance is expected from students and what systems the uni had in place to monitor students' attendance. And they had no system in place to flag up when a student had missed lots of sessions in a row. As a result, the uni didn't check up on Henry in person or over the phone. Their procedures were just to send emails to students when they missed lectures and assignments.
A coroner gave a conclusion of suicide. What did Henry's parents say after that?
Henry's parents were expecting a conclusion of suicide. Obviously, they are absolutely devastated, and what happened was really shocking for the family. So they had no idea he was struggling with his mental health. But most of all now, they just want to see something good kind of come out of it and for some changes to be made to the way the uni cares for and checks in on its students.
And will the university be making any changes?
Cardiff Met has now introduced a system called MetStat. It's being trialled and developed, and what it will do will link up and create a joint record of attendance across lectures. This was already in the works before Henry's death, however, but the uni says that they've taken a lot of consideration and learned lessons since Henry's suicide.
Millie, thanks ever so much. Henry's family have raised almost £8,000 for campaigning against living miserably, and we've got a link to their fundraising within the story at Kent Online. And if you're struggling and need someone to talk to, you can call Samaritans at any time on 116 123. You can also get in touch with a Release the Pressure advisor by texting the word SHOUT to 85258 or calling 0800 107 0160.
Kent Online News.
Police have tracked down two suspected shoplifters who are thought to have stolen thousands of pounds worth of goods from stores in Medway. Several Nike fleeces were taken from Sports Direct in Gillingham, and a member of staff suffered a cut to their leg when they tried to intervene. Clothing was also stolen from the Pentagon Centre in Chatham. Two men, aged 23 and 46, have been charged. A Gillingham man has avoided jail after following a mother and daughter through the streets of Sheerness and attacking police officers. Paul Jarvis growled at his victims as he walked behind them and later headbutted an officer as he was being detained. The 46-year-old from Nelson Road had an issue with drink and drugs. He's been given a community order, must attend rehab, alcohol treatment programs and do 150 hours of unpaid work. A Kent teenager who was caught drink driving in his mum's car just months after passing his test has been banned from the road. The 19-year-old was spotted drifting between lanes in Brenly Lane in Faversham in the early hours of May 25th. The self-employed builder has been banned for a year and must pay nearly £750.
Kent Online News.
Figures seen by the Kent Online podcast show an increase in assaults on pharmacy staff across Kent. There were 21 cases last year compared to 13 in 2022. It's thought some patients are becoming aggressive because of medicine shortages. Lucy's been chatting to Amish Patel, who runs Hodgson Pharmacy in Longfield.
For me, especially as the owner, I've got my whole team to look after. And it's very difficult because we are all doing our best. I think it's a misunderstanding. I understand from a patient's perspective, they're scared, they're nervous. Then if there's a medicine that they can't get hold of and they've been told they've got to take it every day, I get it, the frustration, what do I do? But that can't be directed at the pharmacy and their team who are doing everything they can to support that patient. We are healthcare professionals. We're in this industry because we care for our patients. We're not making millions of pounds to be here. we're doing it from the goodness of our hearts at the same time. And what people don't seem to realize is we only get paid if we get that medication in for you. So it's in our best interest to get medications to supply them to our patients, because that's the only way we get remunerated. So when people then are directing that anger towards us, it's saddening, it's frustrating for us as well. I've lost staff members because of it, and it's not right. It just simply is not right. There's other ways around it, there's ways of dealing with it, and violence and abuse is just not the way.
So is that people have left because they don't want to have to deal with that kind of aggression from customers?
Exactly that. The aggression of customers has driven my staff out of wanting to work in the pharmacy. Great members of staff, really caring members of staff, people that will, carry the stuff to the car, help ladies and gentlemen carry, walk across the road when it's busy times of the day, sort of thing. I've just left because I can't tolerate this anymore. The negative attitude from the customers when they're working so hard to try and get what they need. It's so sad.
And is that aggression something that you would say has increased over the years? I mean, you mentioned that you qualified 16 years ago. In that time, would you say people are getting more and more angry over these issues?
Oh, most definitely. 16 years ago, I remember the respect and the friendships we would have with our patients, shall we say. And everyone would be like a friend in the pharmacy. And it's a shame that the balance is tilting the other way now, where instead of being friends, it is more of this transactional service. Patients are just not as friendly, respectful, or caring towards the teams anymore. And it is really, really. It's disheartening. It's disheartening. It makes me not want to be a pharmacist or a healthcare professional anymore. There's a number of times I've gone home and think I want to change my career because although I'm trying to help, it's not reciprocated back from the other direction. Everyone should feel safe in their workplace. And so as an owner, it's really hard for me in particular to try and make sure I'm providing that safe environment. And there's only so much I can do. After that, it's out of my control. It just requires people to understand the issues, to listen to these conversations that we're having, to listen to the media about the issues that are being faced from the pharmacy, and then rather than being aggressive, try to work with the pharmacies. But I think the government can also look to do more as well. Pharmacies are underfunded, and which leads to understaffing potentially in some areas. It's leading to how the government pays for drugs, at least drug shortages sometimes. There's a bigger picture here that could be done to help everyone in this area. And even facilitate conversations between pharmacies and GP surgeries to manage drug shortages as well. So there's something more that the government can do to step in to also be that final step in keeping all healthcare professionals safe.
Kent Police say no one should fear being attacked in the workplace and they take all reports seriously. It's claimed the previous government lost control of the situation at a Kent asylum centre, leading to thousands of people being illegally detained. People were only supposed to be held for 24 hours at the Manston site, which became overcrowded in 2022. Court documents show the Home Office had no reliable data for the 3 months. Campaigners are fighting for a statutory inquiry. Firefighters have managed to put out a blaze involving 3 tonnes of wheat and household waste in Medway. It broke out in Upper Stoke near Hoo yesterday morning. Crews spent nearly 10 hours at the scene. 2 caravans full of rubbish have been dumped in a lay-by in Thanet. They were found covered in graffiti on the A299 between Minster and Monkton. Council bosses are investigating. It could cost taxpayers thousands to remove them.
Kent Online News.
A wheelchair user from St Mary's Bay says he feels trapped in his own home after waiting more than a year to be moved into somewhere more suitable. Rather than adapting the 50-year-old's bungalow, council said he would be moved, but 12 months on, he's still waiting and says he's constantly knocking his knees while trying to get around. A council spokesperson says no properties have yet become available, but they are continuing to look. There are calls for better lighting along a path in Tunbridge after a flasher exposed himself to a woman walking past. The woman was using her torch on her phone as she walked between Cannon Lane and the High Street when she was surprised by the man hiding in the shadows. It's led to renewed requests for proper lighting. Council say the project remains a priority. A petition has been launched to make utility companies pay a daily rate to keep roads shut while carrying out work in Swanley. Residents say constant disruptions have caused havoc and they're hoping to be included in the Kent Lane rental scheme. It means companies that need to close a road for works carry a financial incentive to make sure it's carried out in a less disruptive way. There are calls for a lower speed limit and cameras in part of Larkfield where residents have described their road as a death trap. Lunsford Lane connects with the A20 and is a 30 zone, but the Kent Online podcast has been told many motorists go above that. There have been 10 crashes on the stretch in the last 4 years. Councillors say they'll continue to look at the situation.
Kent Online News.
A Kent woman has been fined £500 after leaving a bag full of clothes next to a donation bin. Susan Cowdery says the bin at Hawley Road in Dartford was full, but not long after leaving her bags, she received a fine for fly tipping. Susan and husband Phil have been speaking to reporter Ellie Hodgson.
We just sort of had a clear out and we said we'd take them down. I'll take it down to the charity bin, and that's what I've done really. I don't know if it was two, maybe three bags. Yeah. But it's full of like our clothes and our grandchildren's clothes. They're all clean and tidy, folded up. So it's just easier just to put them in the charity bin really. And as I say, I drove past and stopped, and it was full up, and there was a couple of bags all around the side. So I just left them at the side. They wasn't thrown there, they were just placed. Placed there nicely, and that was it, really.
On that day when you went there, so did you see any of the signs around?
No, I didn't, no. I really didn't. I just thought it was like a recycling thing.
Yeah.
And like in your mind, was there ever a moment that you thought this could even be considered fly tipping?
No, didn't even think about it. I didn't even see the signs. I didn't. Just went in and thought, I'll even buy the bin because they'd be collected for charity. I mean, I didn't put anything else in the recycling, it was just the charity bags.
Mm-hmm.
So that was it, really.
So talk me through your reaction when you see that you've been fined £500.
I was shocked, because they sent the photos as well, didn't they?
Yeah, but it's just of you putting bags down,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Just me, well, yeah, it wasn't even that, it was just at the car. So you can see all the bags around there, so it wasn't, I was the only one putting the first ones down, because it was full up, so he was a bit shocked, and I went back to them and asked, said I wasn't fly tipping.
So seeing all those bags there, did that make you think that by putting them there, they're probably going to be cleared?
It's collected, yeah. Yeah, because it
normal
was full
practice
up.
Before.
Yeah.
So I thought, is it normal practice?
Yeah, so I just thought, oh, it's full up and people have left bags, they should be collected. I don't know how
often.
Days,
really, wouldn't you? Wouldn't be there long, would they?
No, I don't know how often they collect. If it's weekly, daily, monthly, I didn't even think about it, to be truthful.
Has it put you off giving to charity again?
Absolutely.
I wouldn't do it again. I would never...
Put some stuff in the rubbish already.
Yeah, I would never do that again.
Just having a chance.
Susan is refusing to pay, but has already had an appeal turned down by council. Business owners on Sheppey say they've been hit hard by 7 weeks of roadworks in the run-up to Christmas. Part of Halfway Road has been closed since November 4th for gas pipes to be replaced, causing congestion nearby. Traders say it's left them thousands of pounds out of pocket at a busy time of year. Sophie Gurria owns a card and gift shop.
We were all great with our footfall. We were set for a really good Christmas. The week before the roadworks started, we were really started to step up. As we would have expected to with the stock we'd already purchased for Christmas. Now the roadworks has caused a massive issue for us. In our opinion, obviously, I don't work for, the people that do these jobs. But from a point of view as a business, that it could have been better managed. We weren't even notified that this was happening if we'd had pre-notification. And as far as I know, none of the other businesses on this area were told. My husband's business next door wasn't told, so I'm guessing none of them were. Then we could have at least prepared whether our stock was, whether we needed that amount of stock for Christmas.
SGN say the work was agreed with the local authority and they've apologised for the disruption.
Kent Online News.
Davina McCall says she's back home and recovering from surgery to remove a benign brain tumour. The TV presenter, who lives in Tunbridge Wells, has shared this video from her bed on Instagram.
I just thought I'd check in and say an enormous heartfelt thank you to everybody who's messaged me or been in touch. It's meant the world. It's been mad. And it's just really nice to be back home. I'm on the other side. My short-term memory's a bit remiss, but that is something that I can work on, so I'm really happy about that. I'm writing down everything that I'm doing to keep myself feeling safe, and I'm being brilliantly looked after by Michael and my mum. I'd quickly like to say big up the stepmoms. I don't really say thank you to Gabby enough. She's been an amazing rock my whole life. I was talking yesterday to somebody. I said I've got a massive dose of vitamin G. I think when something like this happens, I just feel so grateful. I've always been grateful. I've been really lucky in my life, but I feel unbelievably grateful right now. So thanks for everything, all of you. I'm on the mend. I'm resting. I'm sleeping loads. And I feel really good. I just feel very lucky.
The LV21 lightship has arrived at the historic dockyard in Chatham after being moored in Gravesend for the last 8 years. The floating entertainment hub and performance facility will be in Medway for the next year. Bosses say they're looking forward to an exciting lineup of events and activities over the coming months. A beat officer on the streets of Sheppey has told the podcast she's hoping to build a strong relationship with the local community. PC Alison Honus was born and raised on the island and is now back helping to keep the streets safe. The neighbourhood policing model came into force in June last year and aim to put bobbies back on the street to help reduce crime. It seems to be working, with shoplifting offences in Swale down by 17%. Alison has been speaking to reporter Cara Simmons.
I came to the island in 2023 as a beat officer for Sheerness when the neighbourhood model came into force. However, I was previously a neighbourhood officer in Sittingbourne, for around 2 years before that. So I'd got some neighbourhood experience before coming, coming back to the island, because I worked here at the beginning of my career.
Brilliant. And I know that you're sort of born and bred Sheppey. Does that give you, it must give you sort of a wealth of knowledge, knowing all sort of the spots and the places and yeah. growing up and experiencing it yourself. How do you implement that into sort of day-to-day work?
I definitely think it's been an advantage to have local knowledge. I was born here, raised here. And it is a unique place. And I've got a lot of affection for it, I suppose. But there's a really good community spirit here. People have lived on the island for generations. And so that really helps, because I do obviously know people. And having worked here for most of my career, pretty much, I've worked in Swale my whole career. But my early part of my career was on the island. So again, all that local knowledge has been building up for years, not only from growing up, but also within work. And it's just invaluable, really, to know, as you say, the little hotspots, the little areas, the little nooks and crannies where things can go on, and just have an experience of that has really helped.
Do people also have known you from when you were younger and now know you as the beat officer?
Yeah, there's been some of that, which actually has been really positive, because if you are going through something in a crisis or something which obviously isn't very pleasant, to have a face that you recognise is, again, it just eases the trauma of what somebody might be going through. So just to have that connection, it makes it so much easier going forward. And again, being local and not being absconded too much to other areas and solely being on the island, I can have that continual contact with people and that continual recognition from them.
Plans have been put in to more than double the number of rooms at a hotel and golf resort near Canterbury. Bosses want to expand Broome Park in Barham and build a new spa facility with treatment rooms, a bar, kitchen and swimming pool. There are also hopes of restoring a Grade 2 listed Italian garden that's fallen into ruin. A pub on the Isle of Sheppey is set to undergo a £100,000 makeover. New owners have taken over at the Player at the Lees in Minster. It's now going to be stripped out and revamped. The seafront pub closed suddenly at the start of this month, but we'll have its grand reopening this Saturday. You can see pictures of how the renovations are progressing in the story at Kent Online. And Kent's JB Gill has survived another week on Strictly after impressing the judges with his Charleston. The JLS singer scored 39 points and was second on the leaderboard with pro partner Lauren Oakley. EastEnders star Jamie Borthwick was the latest to be eliminated after losing the dance-off to Olympian Montel Douglas.
Kent Online Sports.
Football now, and the Gillingham manager says they threw away chances in Saturday's loss to Harrogate Town. The disappointing result at Priestfield leaves the Gills 11th in the League Two table. Here's Mark Bonner.
I thought we were a disgrace when we went ahead, to be honest. I thought first half was exactly what the game could have been, and we had decent enough control of it without threatening too much. Start second half well, get ourselves ahead, have two good moments after that, and then from that point on, it's just a pattern emerged in the team that we go ahead and throw games away. We've done it way too often. I think been ahead in four of our last, I don't know, six games, something like that, and not taking anything from the game. As a really average game, it always had that potential in there, but probably a bit like everybody else in the stadium, I absolutely hated the last half hour, and it was as rubbish as everyone thought. So we deserve to be booed off because that is miles off a good team there. I hated everything about the end of the game, and we have a good chance. Josh should take the chance at the end, and then we get a point out of the game, and you'd be relieved with a point out of the game and a balance of that game. Like if it ends up level, no one really says a thing about it, but you'd still say it was a performance that you didn't like in lots of the second half. And I think that's the pattern bit for me, that I just really disliked how lacking in aggression we were, how lacking in intent we were to try and make something happen, how very few players were available for the ball, how our retention of the ball in the second half became kick, rush, all of a sudden no one to pass to, whereas when we're on top and we're in the balance and we've got some momentum, it looks like there is. Like that is not the personality of a team that we should be trying to build. So, loads of work to do, loads of work for the players to do, and dangerous to tell the truth. Dangerous to tell the truth as the players, because then you see who's going to come with it or not. But you have to take results in games like that. Like that's a given, really. We've lost way too many games for the team that we're trying to become.
The Gills now have a bit of a break before facing Bromley on December 4th. And in ice hockey, Kent's Invicta Dynamos were unable to make it two wins in a row over the weekend. After beating Milton Keynes Thunder 16-2 on Saturday, the Moes lost 8-2 to Chelmsford Chieftains last night. They're currently sixth in the South Division 1 table. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Kate Faulkner, all one word, at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.